Today, I want to spend some time speaking to you, but I want to start in our scripture this morning. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 25. And I want to start us off in verse 14, and then we're going to go through 30. So just a little bit of context before we get started this morning. This is Jesus talking, okay? The entire Bible is important. The entire Bible can be used to teach us, to grow us, to correct us, to instruct us on how to live our lives. But I always love to pay special attention to the words of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Because it's good. Which, speaking of, God is good? And all the time? Amen. I got my pops here with me this morning as well as some of my family. That's the reason I always say that. Because growing up, when my dad would preach, he would say that. And I just love to have a little shout out. So love you, Pop. But we're going to be in Matthew chapter 25 this morning. Love you too, sis and brother. But, you know, verse 14 through 30. Oh, man, I'm awesome. I'm the best brother ever. And this is Jesus talking, all right? All right? And he starts off by saying this: the kingdom of heaven, everybody say the kingdom of heaven, will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. Everybody say his wealth. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another he gave 2, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability, and then he went on his journey. Verse 16 says, the man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once. Everybody say, went at once. And he put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. This is not somebody you want as your investor or your money guide, right? He just put the money in the ground, all right? But verse 19 says, after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. Everybody say, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Verse 22 says, the man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I've gained 2 more. And his master replied, well done. There we go. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. But the story goes a little sideways starting in verse 24, because it says, the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you're a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and I went out and I hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master probably took a second, right? Just to take that in. And then he replies, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvested where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed? Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. Verse 29, for whoever has will be given more and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them, and throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's Jesus talking, all right? So don't get upset at me. Get upset at Jesus this morning. But today, I want to take some time to talk to you about this biblical idea of stewardship. Because you see, God calls us to be a kingdom steward. He calls us to be a kingdom steward. He calls us to manage things the way that he wants us to manage them. And so this morning, I want to take some time and talk about what does it mean to do things God's way with the things that God has given us. Amen. Are you guys with me this morning? All right, let's pray real quick. Father God, I thank you for today. Lord, I pray that you would speak to us. Lord, I ask that every heart would be open and every ear would hear what you have to say, not through me, but through your Holy Spirit, Jesus. And I just pray that this word would get through to us, because I believe this is a word and a time where we need to hear this word, Jesus. And so I pray that you would use me this morning to speak your message. And it's in Jesus' mighty name, everybody said, amen. Amen. We have to understand, when we read the Bible and we talk about this idea of being a kingdom steward, being a kingdom steward is something that God cares very deeply about. God cares very deeply, how do we take care of the things that he has entrusted us with? How are we managing our family? How are we managing our time? How are we managing our money? How are we managing our relationships? See, it's really important for us to understand how deeply God cares about this, because if we don't understand how deeply God cares about this, we will not care about this ourselves. But see, the deal is, once we have an understanding of what does God really care about, you start to understand, I want to live my life in a way that pleases him. I serve a good father in heaven who loves me, who did not hold anything back for me. The Bible says he gave me his son, Jesus, to die on the cross for me. And so with that, when I give my life to Jesus, just like this morning, when I'm made new, when I decide to walk a different way, when I decide to live my life a different way, I have to start aligning myself with what God aligns himself with. Amen. See, we'll see this idea of stewardship from the very beginning of Scripture, starting in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 through 28. It says, then God said, everybody said, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. And then watch, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Verse 28, then God blessed them. Everybody say, God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Watch this. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. I'm sorry, I don't have the slides for these scriptures. But we see from the very beginning, God's charge to mankind was, I want you to have dominion, which is another word for stewardship. I want you to manage. I want you to oversee the things that I've created. I want you to take care of it. You are responsible for it. It's not yours, but it's something that I'm putting you over. It's under your authority. We see this in the beginning of the Bible, in the beginning of creation. Even before sin entered the world, we see that mankind had a task of stewardship placed on their life by God. What's interesting is we read about this in Genesis, which is the Old Testament, but you'll see this reflected even in the last book of the Bible, in the book of Revelation, in the New Testament, which, just if you don't know, so Genesis is really the beginning, right? It's the story of how God created things and what things look like in the beginning. And we have awesome stories of faith like Abraham and Moses and all these amazing things that happened early on with the Jewish people who God had created and made his own. But what's interesting is we see this idea of stewardship reflected at the very end of the Bible in the book of Revelation. See, in the book of Revelation, it's a very interesting chapter, just to give you a little nerd Bible knowledge real quick. And so the book of Revelation was written by the disciple John. And it was a vision that he was given about the end times, about the last days, about what it was going to look like at the end, what it was going to look like when God just wipes out everything, hits the restart button, creates a new heaven and a new earth. But watch what happens in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 through 12. Because what we're going to see here is everything's done. And this is what's called the judgment seat. If we were to get into the theology of that, there will be a day where we will all stand before God on his great white throne, and we'll have to answer for how we lived our lives and the things that we did and the things that we didn't do. And did we put our faith in Jesus, or did we do things our own way? And here's the deal, guys. I can't sit there for you. Your mama and your daddy can't sit there for you. Your brother and your sister can't sit there for you. It's going to be you, and it's going to be God. And I really hope you have made Jesus Lord of your life. I really do. But watch what happens at the end of Revelation. It says on verse 11, chapter 20, then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. The earth and the heavens fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. Verse 12, and then I saw the dead, great and small. Everybody say great and small. Standing before the throne, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. So we got two sets of books here, the book of life and then the other books that are mentioned. And it says this, the dead were judged according to what they had done as recorded in the books. It's interesting because there's two types of judgment that the Bible talks about. It talks about the judgment of salvation, or do you have Jesus as Lord of your life? And then there's the judgment and the rewards associated with how you stewarded the things that God gave you in the process, which is what's mentioned here when he's talking about the other books, because we have the book of life and the other books. I know we're getting a little heady here, but I don't want to shy away from what the Bible says. But it's important for us to understand from the beginning, God has looked at mankind and he said, hey, stewardship matters. Being a kingdom steward matters. How you live your life matters. How you carry your business, it matters. And then at the end, it's the same thing. God cares. And just like the words of Jesus, some are entrusted with many things. Some were entrusted with a few things. But we're all going to be judged on our ability to steward. And I got a couple more Bible verses for you. We'll go quick on these. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. It says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord and not for men. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 10 through 12 says, but we urge you, brothers, to love one another more and more and to aspire to live quietly and to mind your own affairs. Everybody say, mind your business. Mind your business. Now look at that nosy person in your life and tell them, mind your business. Now you're definitely in trouble, all right? If I didn't get you in trouble before, you're in trouble now. Some of you were smart. You just looked straight forward, and you didn't even flinch, and you didn't say a single thing, and that was a good decision on your part, all right? But it says, to mind your business and to work with your hands as we instructed you so that you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 says, each of you, so everybody say each of you, so everybody, should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. Watch this. As faithful stewards. Everybody say stewards. Of God's grace in its various forms. Simply put, when we're talking about stewardship, let me break it down, because I was the kid in school where it's like, hey, I need you to make it stupid for me because this is too much, all right? I'm a little slow sometimes. And so simply put, stewardship is managing God's blessings, God's way for God's glory. Let's say this together on the count of three. One, two, three. Stewardship is managing God's blessings, God's way for God's glory. Now, you'll notice some of my English nerds in here, the way that we put the apostrophe on the end of the word God right there, it indicates what? It indicates that it does not belong to us. It indicates that it's not my blessing. Definitely it's not my way, because I would rather do what I would rather want to do, right? And it's not for my glory, it's for God's glory. And so here's what happens a lot of times. Preacher, we're talking about stewardship, and you just want me to do things your way because it's my stuff, and I don't want to do it your way or what you're talking about because it belongs to me anyways. And so if you have a fundamental misunderstanding about whose stuff it really is, whose life it really is, you're going to have a hard time with today's message. You're going to have a hard time, but you got to understand something. It's not yours. You got to understand something. It's not even your breath. The breath that you're breathing right now, it's not even your breath. It's God's breath. It's God's breath. The life that you're living right now, it's not your life. It's God's life. The family that you have right now, it's not just your family, it's God's family. It's a matter of fact, I'm going to talk to some of my married people, it's God's daughter, or it's God's son, or those are God's children. The business that you're managing and the money that's coming in, it's not your money, it's God's money. And we got to be careful, guys. We got to be really careful because we are called to be kingdom stewards. But if we're not careful, we will live our lives like, God, you can have church and, you know, you can have this little Bible study I do every now and then, but you're not going to have all this other stuff because it's mine. And instead of being a kingdom steward, you want to have your own kingdom. You want to do things your own way. You don't want to be accountable to what God has given you and how God has blessed you. And we got to be careful because the book of Psalms says that in chapter 24, verse 1 through 2, look on the screen here, it says this, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Everybody say everything. everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it on the seas and he established it on the waters. I love this Bible verse right here because I always tell our students in Summit, I'm like, y'all, the Bible is funny. The Bible is entertaining. The Bible is wildly interesting. As a matter of fact, if you think the Bible is boring, then you're just reading it wrong. And you know, now it's really cool because we have proof, because Amazon is dumping millions of dollars to produce Bible shows like The House of David or The Chosen or all these Christian entertainment things. Why? Because the Bible is extremely interesting. You're just not slowing down enough to catch it. And I love it because sometimes the Bible is really funny, because as a parent, when I read that verse, you know what I think of? And some of you guys know exactly what I'm about to say. I brought you into this world. And I can. There we go. I brought you into this world and I can take you out. And maybe some of you have said that to your kids. Maybe even this morning you said it to your kids. Amen. Some of y'all, I'm sorry, you were like in too soft of a home, and like the rest of us, like we got raised in that home where we heard that a few times, you know what I'm saying? So don't worry, our parents love Jesus, they just kept it real sometimes, right? But we got to understand, none of it belongs to us. God has just blessed us with it so that we could bless others with it. God has just blessed us with it so he could bless us with it. God has just blessed us with this. I love it how Jesus said it. The master is the one who gave the gifts. It was his wealth. He entrusted them with his wealth. It wasn't their wealth. And Jesus is expecting us to manage these things, to steward these things, because it doesn't belong to us. It all belongs to God. And so today I want to talk about four areas of your life where God is asking you to be a kingdom steward. There are four areas of your life where I believe the Bible and God's word and the Holy Spirit and even the words of Jesus, they're asking us to steward things God's way. And so today, if you got a note taker, I just wanted to list them all out here for you. We're going to be talking about four different topics. Now, this isn't necessarily an exhaustive list, so don't come up to me afterwards. Pastor Zach, there's like six things. All right, I'm sorry. Today we're doing four, all right? But the four I want to focus on is this: our time, because every breath we have is not our own. Our treasure, because it just said in Psalm, it's God's wealth. Everything in it belongs to him. Our talent, because guess what? Michael Jordan, yeah, he's really good at basketball, but he was born with some genetics too, right? And so our talent given by God. And then I want to talk about the people or the relationships that God places in our life to steward. And so let's start with being a kingdom steward with our time. Everybody say God's time on three. One, two, three. It's God's time. As a matter of fact, Psalm chapter 90, verse 12 says this: teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. I love that verse because it makes it clear we're not going to live forever. We need to make wise decisions about how we live our life, to number our days, not knowing when that last day will be, but also not living recklessly in the process. Amen. Romans chapter 13, verse 11 says this: and do this, understanding the present time, the hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. And then Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says this: and it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. And so it's important for us to understand our time is limited. I once was listening to somebody talk, and you know, they were talking about what's the most valuable thing in the world, and the what seemingly obvious answer would be, well, it'd be money. But it's not, because why? You can always get more money. But you know what you can never get more of? You can never get more time. I love it because I think it was Shannon Sharp in Club Shay Shay. I don't know if you guys are cultured like that, but he was wearing a really valuable Rolex. And one of the people that were interviewing him, they asked him a question: hey, tell me about your watch. You know, what's so special about it? Why do you wear an expensive watch? And he's like, well, I don't buy an expensive watch just to buy an expensive watch. I buy an expensive watch to remind myself how valuable my time is. And to let other people know too, because how many of you guys know there's some people that will just take as much time as you can give them, and you're just like, ah, I'm trying to get away. Oh, sorry. Too honest. I'm sorry. I'm a human, all right? I'm a human. But we got to understand our time is our most valuable asset. It's one of the most valuable things that God has given us. And God has given us a time to manage the things in our life. Ecclesiastes talks about there's a time and there's a season for everything. And this is really important, especially the older you get, because if you're not intentional with your time, you're going to miss out on your opportunity. There's a really cool thing that this kid's curriculum does. They put a bunch of marbles in a jar of every summer that you have with your child between 0 and 18. And I forget what the number is, but the concept is every day, every summer, you pull out a marble. And it's just a visualization of how little time you actually have as a parent to influence your child, to influence your family, to influence the way that their lives and their brains form and what they think is normal and what we're allowing to be acceptable. The same thing is true in our relationships with our marriages and our coworkers and all these different things. We got to be very careful about how we manage our time, and are we stewarding our time God's way? And one thing I want to encourage you, church, is make time for the things that are really important. Make time for the things that are really important. You have to understand, you can't do everything. You know, I love this. The word no is such a powerful word, because when you say no, you allow room for a yes. And some of us, we're just stacking our schedule so full of just nonsense that's not helping our lives, it's not helping our families, it's not helping our kids, it's not helping us grow closer to Jesus, and we're just filling it up because we're so scared to have that moment of solitude. But I need you to encourage you guys, hey, you have to be intentional about your time. And so just practically speaking, I would encourage each of you just to sit down and get a calendar. Just get a calendar. You shouldn't be missing the birthdays. You shouldn't be missing the anniversaries. You shouldn't be missing church. Make your weekend to where you have time to show up to church, because it matters. You shouldn't be missing the important things in your life. And if you don't manage and steward your time well, if you just go into it reckless, just thinking, well, who cares? Whatever. Last minute. Yada, yada. If you live your life that way, you're going to miss out on so much that God is asking you to do. When we manage our time well, we become better stewards of what God has given us. Some of us, you're like, man, I just don't have enough time. Well, if I'm being honest, sometimes I feel that way. I'm guilty of that too. But the reality is we each have 24 hours every single day to do what God has given us. Jesus said out of his own mouth, do not worry about tomorrow, for it's enough trouble of its own. Only worry about today. Why? Because Jesus knew, hey, if you just take care of your business today, if you just take care of what I put in front of you today, if you just take care of what I'm asking you to focus on today, I love it in Hebrews because it says that God appointed a special time called today. And so every morning when you wake up, just think to yourself, God, thank you for giving me today. Jesus, thank you for today, because even though I'm having to clock in at my job or whatever it is, and it might just feel like a normal other thing, well, it's not just a normal everyday thing. It's something that God has asked you to do today. So are you taking it seriously? Are you living your life in a way where you're a kingdom steward with your time? Another thing that God asks us to be a kingdom steward with is our treasure. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8 says this, and anyone who does not provide for their relatives and especially for their own household has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. A couple weeks back, I got to put our kids and students onto some game because we were talking about relationships, and I got to show them the song. And don't worry, we only sang this one part, but it says, I don't want no scrub because a scrub is a guy can't get no love from me. Saying his best friend's right, trying to holler at me, you know. And I got to put them on some game. And then one of them went home and told their parents that we sang the whole song, which the whole song is a little inappropriate, but we just sang that one part of the song. But I love it because this scripture right here, if you didn't follow me, it's okay. We're bringing it back to the Bible. This scripture right here, it makes it really clear. With our treasure, we are expected to take care of our families and the people that God has put in our purview. And so don't be that guy who's like, man, I just can't take care of things. Well, it's probably because you're with your time, you're only making room and only planning to make 825 for the rest of your life. And God's like, hey, I need you to manage your treasure to be a wise steward. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 7 says it like this, whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward them for what they have done. When God gives you wealth, When God gives you finances, it's for two reasons. It's to bless you and it's to bless others. And so we got to be careful that when we're making money and when we're doing the things, when you get the bonus and all that, go on the vacation, do the fun stuff, do all that. But don't forget that God's also asking us to be a blessing to others. I know the projector's messed up. It's okay. We'll get a new one. We got to come in next week, actually. It's going to be great. Yeah, so, which leads me into tithing, which is great. Malachi chapter 3. Hey, God just gave me an illustration just like that. What's up? Malachi chapter 3. Verse 10 says it like this: bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house, and test me in this. Which, by the way, this is one of the only times where God says, hey, try me, all right? Says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing there will not be room enough to store it. See, tithing is something that is represented with Cain and Abel before there was even an Old Testament law of Moses. Cain and Abel brought their offerings to the Lord, and Cain did not bring an acceptable offering. It predates the law of Moses when Abraham gave to the Melchizedek priest, and he gave 10% of all of his belongings, which when you talk about the word tithe just is, it's a percentage. It literally means 10. Like, so if you make 100,000, a tithe would be 10,000. It was in the law of Moses, and what a lot of people like to do is they like to just point, see, it's just in the law of Moses, so it doesn't apply to us. Well, it predates the law, and then on top of that, Jesus affirmed it in the New Testament when he spoke to the Pharisees and said, hey, it's good that you tithe. Do not neglect tithing, but also do not neglect kindness and mercy and looking after the needs of the poor, which are the greater things. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. Of course, the pastor's talking about some money today. Man, they just want my money. Well, first of all, I don't drive a Bentley, okay? And I always get frustrated when people act that way, because I'm like, you came into a free building, you got your free coffee, you got free concert, you got free hour lesson, you got free childcare. Like, what are you talking about? Like, we don't need your money. And guess what? God doesn't need your money. But the reason why I like to talk about this a little bit is because one of the number one causes for divorce is financial problems. It's financial problems, and it's an extreme stress point in everyone's life. I don't care if you're 16 or 66, it doesn't matter. Finances is a pain point for a lot of people. And here's the deal, guys, if you will not be a kingdom steward, remember, God's blessing, God's way for God's glory. If you will not manage your finances God's way, you will experience difficulty in the area of finances, just point blank, period. But God said out of his own word in Malachi, test me in this. Start managing your money my way. Stop doing it your way. Start practicing your tithing and your giving, and then watch. Watch what I will do. And I love it. I love it because here's my belief. I know the math isn't mathing, but it's not a math test. It's a faith test. Because I believe that God can do more with my 90% than I could ever do with my 100%. And we live in America, so it's really more like, what, 70%? Because Uncle Sam thinks Uncle Sam. But I believe God can do more. But if I'm not trusting him with my finances, I'm saying, no, God, I'll give you everything, but I'm not going to give you this. And the problem is not a money problem. It's a disobedience problem. You don't like God's word. You don't like what God says. You're not really letting Jesus be Lord of your life. You're letting him be a manager in a few things, but you're not letting him take care of everything. And I want to challenge you this morning. Some of you guys, you've been obedient to God in every area. You've stopped doing the things that you shouldn't be doing. You've changed your life. You gave your life to Jesus. You got baptized, all that. But you have not trusted God in the area of finances yet. And I just want to challenge you, and I want to invite you as a walking testimony of the faithfulness of God in my own life, that if you'll trust God with your treasure, God will take care of the difference. Amen? Amen. I don't have no time. That's a whole message. Maybe Pastor Jack will preach that sometime soon. But I want to talk about this next area that God is asking us to be a steward in. He's asking us to be a steward or a kingdom steward of our talent. What's really interesting is talent or our gifting or our ability is such a twofold. It's an extremely underrated thing that we can give to God. Because when we give our talents to God, we like to play it off like it's not that important. And then as a second fold, we act like the spiritual giftings of preaching or praying or all of these other things, we act like those are the only talents that matter. And it's actually not true. Can I show you something interesting? In the book of Exodus in chapter 31, when they're getting ready to build the temple, watch this. It says in verse 1, then the Lord said to Moses, see, I have chosen Bezalel and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom, with understanding, with knowledge, and with all kinds of skills. Everybody say all kinds of skills. To make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to gauge in all kinds of crafts. Moreover, I have appointed Eliab, and I have given him the ability to all the skilled workers to make everything I have commanded you. And what's awesome and what's really interesting right here is this is one of the first examples of people receiving the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. And watch this. They didn't receive the Holy Spirit so they could preach an amazing message. They received the Holy Spirit so that they could use the talent that God had given them for God's glory. They were skilled laborers. These were blue-collar guys. These were just men of God who just worked. And they maybe couldn't preach the message or they didn't feel confident in praying, but they could roll up their sleeves and work a hard day's work and do the thing that needed to be done. And what's crazy is it says it's through the power of the Holy Spirit that they were able to do this. And some of you guys, I don't know who I'm talking to. Some of you ladies, you've been counting yourself out because you don't feel like you're talented in the quote-unquote right area. Because, oh, I can't preach, or I don't know how to do a Bible study, or I don't know how to do this, that, and the other. And I just want to stop you for a second because that is literally not what God says. You're believing a lie that Satan would like to cripple you so that you never are effective in the gifting that God has given you. Some of you are gifted in what's a really practical kind of way. Maybe you're just really good at building stuff. Maybe you're just really good at encouraging people. Maybe you're just good at giving people advice and counseling. I don't know what it is. There's a lot of things mentioned in the Bible that are not necessarily quote-unquote spiritual gifts, but they're things that God gives us. And they're talents. And their abilities. And I love it because Jesus said, going back to Matthew chapter 5, each according to their own ability. And some of you guys, you've been counting yourself out of God's work because you feel like your gift and your ability and your talent isn't important enough. But guess what? God gave it to you because it is important. And God wants to use it. And God wants to use it for his glory to bless others and to bless you and to bless your life. And it's time to start operating in our talents and our giftings and our abilities. Amen. The last thing that I want to hit on today, and I'm getting ready to close, so Amar, if you could come up, please. Thank you. Is I want to talk about being a kingdom steward with people. Because the deal is our time and our treasure and our talent, it all points to the greatest commandment, which is what Jesus said. I give you a new command to love God and to love others as yourself. He says specifically in chapter 15 of John, verse 12 through 13, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. See, guys, I believe God is calling us into a season of stewardship. I believe God is calling us into a season of stewardship. I believe God is blessing our church. He's blessing the people in our church because there's so many testimonies here lately of how God has just answered prayers and healed and provided the job and did the thing that we were praying for. And I don't think God's just doing it for no reason. I think God is doing it because he's like, hey, I'm getting ready to open up some anointing, some blessing, some favor. I'm getting ready to pour out my spirit. I'm getting ready to show up in such a radical way that the city of Irving is like, what happened to that church? And it's not anything special about us. It's just the Holy Spirit. But we got to steward these things well because ultimately God is asking us to steward people. It's the most valuable thing. Jesus gave his life for people. Jesus didn't give his life for a $1 billion bank account. Jesus didn't give his life for like some cool thing that we did or some cool thing that we built. Jesus said, you know what's worth me coming out of heaven and dying on this cross? A painful, brutal, ugly, nasty, undeserved death. It's all of you. But we got to steward our people. God wants us to steward others. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8 says, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 1 through 2, do not, watch this, is a relationship. Do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father. Treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters with absolute purity. That's about stewarding people. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. How you treat your spouse can hinder your prayers if you're not careful. Colossians chapter 4, verse 1, masters, treat your bondservants justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. It's talking about how you steward your employees. Here's the deal, because what we do is we put titles on people, and they're our spouse, they're my neighbor, they're my friend, they're my employee, they're my coworker. But God's looking at them and he's like, no, they're just my children. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 says this, see what love the Father has for us, that we shall be called children of God, and so we are. When we're talking about stewarding people, we have to look at people through the lens of how Jesus looks at them. Through the blood of Jesus, that there's a Father in heaven who made all of us. And we got to be careful, because if we're not taking people seriously, if we're not loving one another the way that we're supposed to love them, if we're not treating others the way that we're supposed to treat them, that they have value, that they're important, that maybe they're not my best friend, maybe I don't know them that well, but God loved them that much. And what will happen, guys, is you'll look at all of these things and you'll be like, man, it's just too much. God's asking me to be on top of my time. God's asking me to be on top of my treasure. God's asking me to be on top of my talent, my abilities. God's asking me to be on top of how I treat people in my life. And if you look at all this stuff, you're gonna be like, man, I don't know how to be Superman. And I wanna encourage somebody this morning, God is not asking you to become Superman in every area of your life overnight. He's not. He's just asking you to trust him and do it little by little. You see, I have a testimony in my own life. We've had the great privilege and the great honor of being here at Grace Point Church almost 4 years now as a part of the staff. And it's been awesome. But can I be honest with you guys for a second? Am I allowed to? I'm asking. I'm a pastor. Am I allowed to be transparent? When we moved here, we were over $40,000 in debt. Our marriage was on the brink of not making it. I was a mess. I wasn't a good person, a good husband, a good father. It honestly, if I'm being really honest, it was all a mess. And the reason I'm able to stand before you today and preach this message is because in the last almost 4 years now, God has done a work in my life. He has taught me what it means to be a kingdom steward. He has taught me what does it mean to do things God's way. Because it's God's blessing. It's God's daughter. My children, those are God's kids. My money, that's God's money. My opportunity, that's God's blessing. That's God's favor. That's God's talent. That's God's anointing. And I just need some people to stand up with me this morning that you understand it's not me, it's all God. I'm proud to say we are literally almost out of debt. And it ain't because of church, because I just became full-time like 2 months ago, all right? So I'm proud to say our marriage is the best it's ever been. I'm proud to say I'm the best I've ever been. And it's not because of me. And I want to talk to somebody this morning that your life is a mess. It is a mess. Your marriage ain't good. Your money ain't good. Your relationship with your kids ain't good. Your life plan ain't good. And you're just looking around. And you're like, God, I don't know how to fix this. And you've been blaming the enemy. You've been praying for it to go away. You've been reading all the Bible verses and doing all the devos and having all the people pray for you. And God's like, that's not what I need to change. What I need to change is I need you to change your heart. I need you to make a decision that I'm going to do things God's way, because it's God's blessing and it's for God's glory. and you've been trying to do it all on your own. And it doesn't work that way. Watch what Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5 through 7 says. It says, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He is like a shrub in the desert and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness and in an uninhabited salt land. But watch this. I love this verse so much right here that we actually have a painting in our house based on this verse. And it starts in verse 7. It says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. I'm gonna read it again. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green, and it is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. Your life has been a mess because you have not been doing things God's way. You've been trying to hold on to it and do it your own way. And let me tell you something, it doesn't work. It does not work. You're going to crash out. It's going to hit the wall. You're going to run into problems. And so what do you got to do? You got to do what 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14 says this. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves, stop being so daggum prideful and humble yourself. Stop getting to the point where God has to make it bad because you just won't listen. Instead, humble yourself and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. Can I tell you something this morning? God wants to make it good in your life, but God will allow it to go bad in order to get your attention. He will allow it to go bad to get your attention. So I'm talking to some broken people this morning. I'm talking to some messy people this morning. I'm talking to some people who don't have it all together. And can I just tell you, I've been there, and God wants to fix it. But you got to trust him. You got to walk with him. You can't keep holding on to this thing called life, pretending like it's your life. It's not. It's God's life. And Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What that means is when you start doing things God's way, your life might not get better overnight, but all of a sudden it'll become easier. Because you're not the one carrying the weight anymore. God is. And so if I could have every head bow and every eye close, just so that we could each have our own moment with God this morning. If that's you and you're like, you know what, Pastor Zach, I've been fighting and struggling and striving in my own strength. I've been trying to do it in my own way and it's not working. And I'm ready just to let go and give it to God. And do it God's way. If that's you this morning, can you just shoot your hand up in the air? Amen. I want to pray with you, and I want you to pray with me. Let's pray together as we cry out to the Lord. Father God, I thank you for all these people. God, I know that you love them. I know that you're with them. And God, I know that you see them as they are, which is your children. And God, we're crying out to you. And I thank you that you're a good father and you won't leave us there to cry and to struggle all alone. But God, you will come and you will pick us up. God, you've just been waiting for us to ask. And so, Lord, this morning we humble ourselves before you. God, we've been trying to do it our own way. God, we've been trying to do it in our own strength, but God, no more. God, we surrender our way. We surrender what we think is best. We surrender what we want to do and what we would like to do and what feels good. And instead, we lean into what you say, God. And God, we invite you in to be Lord of our lives in every sense of the word, to have dominion over us, King Jesus. We pray that your Holy Spirit would invade us. That, Lord, as we surrender unto you, Just like Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of heaven and righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. God, as we put our trust into you this morning, God, we pray that you would add the right things in our life and remove the wrong things. And God, we surrender the decision and the choice to decide what it is. You tell us what's right and you tell us what's wrong. And God, we're just going to say yes. God, I thank you for the work that you've done this morning. God, I know that it's by your goodness, it's by your strength, it's by the power of your Holy Spirit that I'm even able to stand here today and preach this message, Lord. But we trust you. God, I pray that you would help us to be kingdom stewards, to do things your way, that God, we could be a blessing to others, that God, we would point people to Jesus, not about how good we are, but how good you are, Lord. And God, we love you and we praise you and we lift up your name, Jesus. And we just ask, God, that you would just move in our lives like only you can, so that only you get the credit for it. And it's in Jesus' mighty name, everybody said, amen. Can y'all give Jesus some praise this morning?